Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to Unbreakable Latina.
Hi guys, welcome back to Unbreakable Latina. This is your host, Melina. I hope you're having an amazing day, whatever day you're listening to this on. I am doing a little intro before the episode because I recorded this episode with Chantel. There was some technical difficulties because I forgot a couple cables and we only use one microphone. So I want to apologize ahead of time if the audio is not perfect. It's because it's my fault, okay? But on YouTube, it sounds amazing. So if you want to watch on YouTube, go ahead and watch on YouTube. As you can see, the title of this episode is Sexual Health in the Latinx Community. And it's an episode that I think is very informative and just opens up that conversation that a lot of us don't feel comfortable talking to other people about. At the end of the episode, I did take a couple questions from Instagram and that I asked Chantel that some of you submitted. So this episode is going to be split in two parts. And the reason that I'm coming and telling you guys this before the episode is because the way I recorded it, I didn't plan on it being two episodes, so I want to make sure that when the episode ends, you know that there is a part two next week. So stay tuned for that. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Follow me at Unbreakable Latina on TikTok, on Instagram, and I'll also link Chantel's Instagram to this episode and some books that she recommended. I'm not sure if she recommended them on the first part of the episode or on the second part for next week, but either way, I'm gonna include both of them. So I hope you guys have an amazing week and enjoy this episode that we worked very hard on. Thank you. Bye.
Hi guys, welcome back to Unbreakable Latina. I'm here with Chantel. Welcome back.
Thank you. Hi everybody.
We're doing a video podcast today, as you can see. It took a lot to get here.
Yes.
So I came to Chantel's office. I forgot my memory card. I forgot an adapter for the microphone, so if the audio is not great today, we apologize. It's all my fault, but we're going to get this done today. Chantel has been such a team player, so thank you so much.
We're flexible here. Yes. We go with the flow. That's what it's all about.
Me, go with the flow. But I'm grateful that my friend kept me calm because I was like freaking out. I'm like, what, an hour away from home? Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm wasting her time.
No, not at all.
But we're here. We've been wanting to do this episode for a couple weeks now, but holidays and everything. So now we're here. Yay. And what's the episode on today, Chantel?
Sexual health. Yay! Yes. So much fun. Woo! Love this topic.
Insert like an audience. Yeah, okay. Yeah, let's pretend there's an audience.
Absolutely.
Well, there is now that mm-hmm. I'm watching. So sexual health in the Latinx community. Mm-hmm. And when Chantel texted me about this episode, I was like, what? And at the beginning, I'm not gonna lie, I was a little uncomfortable because it's not something that's talked about in the community.
It's not.
I'm not very open with that with my family, and my mom listens to this, my sister listens to this, so it was it's definitely something really out of my comfort zone, and I'm sure it is for a lot of you guys.
Absolutely, which is why I think it's so important, right? Because, I mean, believe it or not, there's some things that I'm, like, learning to be more comfortable with, but overall, I feel like we have to take the discomfort out of it and talk about it, because if not, there's a lot of misinformation that goes around. And a lot of loneliness.
Yes.
With those issues, right, related to sexual health. So.
Yeah, because it's not something that you're just going to strike up a conversation with your mom or your sister about. I mean, if you do, that's really cool.
Right.
But a lot of us didn't grow up having that, la confianza, pues, de hablar de esas cosas.
Exactly. So that's why I feel like it's very helpful. And, like, you know, I hear so many of your listeners talk about how, like, oh, I feel like you're my cousin. You're like, oh, like a big sister, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And I feel like if we bring up this topic they can learn and they can feel like less alone also talking about some of their sexual challenges and just maybe even getting information that they're like been curious about but they don't have anybody to talk to. So
yeah,
definitely. We are here for that.
We're here for that. Mm-hmm. So when Chantel asked me about it, I really didn't even know where we were going to begin with this podcast. Because I was like, okay, yeah, I know that that's something that's not talked about. But she started this poll on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And, well, like a question. And how did you learn about sex? So how did you learn about sex?
How did I learn about sex? Oh, my God. You know, it's so funny because I was thinking about it. And I was like, how did I learn about sex? Like, I had a lot of questions. I was always very observant. And so, like movies and stuff like that, I'm like, I remember asking my sister, like, what's masturbation? And honestly, I don't even remember her answer. Like, I don't even remember her answer at this point. But my poor sister, you know, she must have been like, damn, how do I tell my little sister, like, about masturbation? And I don't even know if she fully knew.
How old were you?
I was probably like 10, 11.
Little
maybe.
Baby.
Yeah. And she was, what, 6 years older than me, so she was in her teen years, so that must have been hard.
Uncomfortable. Uncomfortable for her.
Uncomfortable for her, but also, like, you know, middle school, they do, like, the videos and stuff like that. I think in fifth grade, they do, like, the puberty talk, so, like, that kind of helps, and, you know, when it comes to, like, period stuff, like, menstrual cycle, like, my mom very much did prepare me for that. In terms of, like, you're gonna get your period. I have two other sisters.
Yeah, so,
like,
you already had, like, a little heads up.
Yeah, it was gonna be my turn. So, for that, yes. But all the other stuff, like masturbation, sex, birth control, STDs, that, I mean, some schools, some talking to friends, movies. I mean, you hear it in music all the time. But it's like, what's truth and what's not, right? That's the part that's hard to tease out.
And well, have you ever heard a song when you were younger and you would sing it? And now you're like, oh my God, this is what I was singing?
It's like 90s R&B, like Snoop Dogg. Yeah, Snoop Dogg.
He corrupted this brain.
Yeah.
And I remember like one time I told my little sister and I really don't talk about anything like sex related. And when the conversation came up about this episode, she's like, yeah, it's uncomfortable. Like, let's keep it that way. And I remember just one time telling her about like a Snoop Dogg song or I forgot what song it was, but I was like, do you realize what you're singing? And then she's like, oh my God, was she Urban Dictionary?
Oh my gosh, I was just thinking about the song Peaches and Cream.
Oh,
God, right? Yes. I was just thinking about that song. Like in middle school, I was like, damn, that beat is so good. Yeah, I mean, now.
I mean,
I'm
still
like,
bump it.
I do too. Oh,
but
yeah.
Now I'm like, oh, the kids, they can't listen to this. Like if my niece is in the car, oh, we're not listening
yeah,
to
we're not
this.
Listening
like, what
to
is she singing?
But we were. That's the thing. We were listening to these things, watching some of these things that come out. And it's like not even knowing the full context or maybe not even being guided through it. And there's a lot of misinformation out there.
Why is it important to talk about sexual health?
That's a really good question. So I think most importantly is like for us not to feel alone.
Yes, definitely.
In our, you know, like we talk about other issues or sometimes we don't. But when it comes to sex, it's like you want to know like, a lot of questions you got were like, is this normal? Is this normal, right? And so
and there were a lot of repeated questions.
There were. So it just goes to show that there's a need to talk about these topics and that people have a lot of the same questions. So when we talk about it, sometimes you can be like, oh my God, yeah, I went through the same thing or that happened to me too. It's not just me.
Yeah.
And so what I see, especially in a lot of clients, is like they think, this issue is only unique to me and my relationship or just me, whether you're in a relationship or not, it's just unique to me. And so talking about it makes it feel like it's like another way of connecting with friends, with your partner, if you have one, right? With yourself to be able to like, this is a part of you. Like we're sexual beings, right?
Yeah.
And so it's a very holistic, we're emotional, we're physical, spiritual and sexual.
It's a different way to connect with somebody, a deeper connection.
A deeper connection.
That everybody wants to have, but sometimes they're embarrassed to like talk about.
Exactly. And don't have the opportunity to, or they might feel like, I think it's very much rooted in shame. And I, in my practice, like my therapy practice, I really vow to like get away from the shame and take my clients to a place of confidence and feeling like I'm okay with the way that I am as a sexual being, as just a person in the things that I am, and being comfortable in our own skin. That's really, really important. Because if you think about it, like, you've talked about, like, people-pleasing, boundaries, right? Yeah. All of those things are also, like, they don't just don't apply when you have sex.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
They apply even more when you have sex. But it's like, if you don't know yourself, if you don't know your limits, if you don't know what you like,
you might be doing something that you don't want to do. Exactly. Just to please your partner or your husband, exactly. Your wife, whoever it is.
Absolutely. Which brings us to consent. Right? Mm-hmm. Consent is so important. People talk about it, they joke about it in like movies, like, oh, do I have your consent to touch you? Whatever. It's like, yeah, we do need that to a certain extent, because there are people or partners who may try to force you to do something or guilt you into doing something, and that's not what we want.
Like, you're boring, you don't want to try new things.
Right, exactly.
But we don't, sometimes people don't open up about sexual experiences, yes, that they might have. It might have been where they were had a boyfriend or a girlfriend or something that they did something they didn't like, and now, mm-hmm, it's like a trauma that they have, but they're afraid to come out to their partner. So yes, it's important to talk about these things.
Yeah, and I've worked with a lot of trauma survivors, like sexual assault, sexual abuse from childhood. And it's so important, like, it's such a serious topic, but it's so prevalent in the Latinx community. And that's because we're taught things like, tienes que saludar, right? Like, oh, it's rude if you don't do that. But I've had clients who, like, it was their uncle, it was a relative, it was a family friend. And then they were still forced to, like, hug that person or saludar that person.
And they hadn't opened up
about their abuse. And they hadn't opened up about it.
Wow. And I never really thought about that. Mm-hmm. That's insane.
Absolutely. So, like, with my daughter and my son, I tell them, you know, if you don't want to hug that person, that's fine. Especially my son. He's very much like, if I don't never see you, or I don't really want to,
I don't recognize
I
you.
Don't want to, he's going to run away. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, that is fine. I'm not going to push him to do something he's not comfortable with. Because what happens is we grow into being adults. Yeah. And then we start allowing people to push us to do things that we're not comfortable with. Because that's the way we grow. And that's not what we want. Right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So people don't think about that. And they think, oh, it's so rude because it's so ingrained in us.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, I grew up, si no saludas, eres malcriada.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I'm not going to lie. If my family's watching this, I'm sorry. But there's some deals that make you uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Not the ones I talk to. But, good. But, like, there's been in the past where I'm like, he kind of gives me creeper vibes. Or, like, mm-hmm, even family friends. Like, I had a couple, like, I would tell my mom, like, ese señor como no me gusta. Mm-hmm. But my mom was like, okay, like, you don't have to say hi, right, whatever. So my mom was very, like, kind of, like, letting go of the old traditions, mm-hmm, while still, like, obviously, like, respect somebody, right? But you don't have to be forced, que le des un beso. Like, I had an experience when I was little where, mm, my mom had a cousin that lived with us.
Mm.
And she said that when he would be like, oh, dame un beso, Melina. And that I would be like, and my mom was like, no, wait, what are you doing?
Right.
Like, that it was like a little creeper vibe.
Right.
So that, like, to me, showed me that my mom was actually paying attention, mm-hmm, to things like that. Because sometimes people don't realize it.
Oh, yeah. And I'm sure a lot of our parents have experienced those same things. That's why they say, like, you can't go to sleepovers.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
And uno nunca sabe.
Uno nunca sabe. And the misconception is that this is only males,
no,
right?
It's everybody.
But it's not. Like, I've heard it all. Yeah. I've heard it all. And so I'm like, that sounds kind of scary, right? Because you're like, oh, my God, I can't trust anybody. But the key is, if you teach your kids and you teach yourself that my body is mine, and I'm not going to allow somebody to make me do something or guilt me into doing something that I don't feel comfortable with.
Definitely.
I tell my clients all the time, look, I don't care if you're both naked on the bed and you decide that you want to back out. That's perfectly fine. That other person, your partner, should never, ever push you to do more.
No, they should understand you. And if it's not a person that understands you, maybe it's not a person that you want
to
be with.
Yeah, kick him to the curb, right? The curb. Him or her to the curb. Yes. Like, and this is where it goes to, like, we often say, like, don't yuck somebody's yum, right? Meaning, if somebody else is into something, like, maybe somebody likes role play. Like, maybe somebody likes to dress up. Maybe somebody else likes to use, I don't know, like, something to spank you, you know? Like, I don't know. Yeah, a little kink. And, you know, there's so many other things out there that you might like, sex toys, things like that. And so, if the other person liked that, and they tell you like, oh, you want to do this? It's like, okay, consider it for yourself. Is that something I'm comfortable with? Right?
Yeah.
But I'm not going to shame the other person because that's something they like. Like, oh my God, that's so, oh my God, that's so gross. I don't want to do that. Like, then it just, it's going to disconnect you from your, the person that you're like intimate with. And they're going to be like, okay, it's not safe to be my full sexual self with that person.
And I think, like, this is just me speculating, but I think that's why a lot of people cheat. Because they don't communicate, or they're not open, or whatever it is. I've heard of so many people that have cheated because they wanted, like, some sort of sexual experience that their partner wasn't offering.
Right.
So it's important to talk about these things with your partner and have an open communication, because a lot of people don't.
I know.
It's like, let's just get to it. Let's do it because, you know, we got to go pick up the kids.
Yes.
Or like, oh, we have to do it because, you know, we're partners, and that's what partners do.
Absolutely. And it's the communication piece, right? Because I feel like there's like this misconception, or there's this idea, right, that is given, especially to us women. It's like, if you don't have sex with your husband, then he's going to go and find it somewhere else, right? And he's going to go find somebody else. And a lot of the times, it's not even just about that. It's the fact that we're not communicating about things.
Like, this is what I like.
Right. Yeah. This is what I like. Hey, we haven't had sex since we had the baby. Or, hey, we haven't had sex. Or, like, I noticed, like, things were off. You weren't that into it.
Or you're tired.
Or you're too tired. Yeah. Yes, so many different things. And that's because there's a lot of shame, too. So, there's pressure to perform. Like, I see it a lot with men, especially, too, where it's just, like, if they can't perform a certain way, they get into their head, so, and they get very stressed, or they're stressed from work, that it keeps them from, like, you know, performing in the way that they feel like they should be performing. And so women too. But I feel like what I see in a lot of women is not being happy with their own bodies, not feeling sexy.
Definitely.
And I'm like, no, like, what do you mean?
Get your sexy on, girl.
Get your sexy on. We're bringing sexy back.
Just a Timberlake where you
at. Yeah. And so, like, that's something that is so, why it's so important to talk about this topic, sexual health, right? Because sexual health is not just, gosh, it's not just the actual act of sex.
There's so many factors.
It's the brain work, right? There's so many factors. It's the emotional piece. There's, like, the mind, like, you know, did you know, like, that the majority, like, to get an orgasm, like, most of it, the highest, you know, the high percentage of forgetting an orgasm is, like, it has to do with your mind. It has to do, like, if your mind isn't right, guess what?
If you're thinking, yeah, you're like, I have to go get groceries after this.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you're not in it.
Yes, yes. And it's, like, if I can hear my kids, like, I'm sorry, but, like, I can't. I'm like, you know, we need to change this up.
The,
like,
scenery.
The scenery. Like, you know, they need to go to bed or whatever. Because it's so hard to, like, get yourself into it. And if, like, that's why foreplay is important and things like that, too. But I guess we can get into that a little bit later in the questions, too. But it's so important to talk about it because we're talking about body safety. We're talking about connection with ourselves and with others. And then, you know, we're also talking about, like, just feeling like you're not the only one that's going through it. And I think that's so important. That'll help us so much.
Why do you think it's so challenging to talk about sex?
I think it's challenging because there's been so many messages about it. So there's been, like religious, right?
Cultural,
so
religious.
Oh, my gosh. It's so deep-rooted where it's just, like, sex is bad, sex is dirty, don't have sex until you get married. And then when you get married, you're supposed to automatically, like, be a freak. Yeah, like,
or, like, automatic.
Yeah.
7 days a week.
Exactly. So it's, like, all of a sudden I'm supposed to know what to do, like, now because poof, I'm married, like, I'm supposed to know what to do. Yeah. But yet, you can't talk about it, you can't even think about it beforehand. Like, that just doesn't make sense. Like, it's not like an on and off switch, right?
And what if you get married and you don't have any chemistry with that partner?
Absolutely.
Or you're just like, no, I don't like what they like.
And what if your partner has their own, you know, issues with it and they have their own beliefs? If you grew up thinking, like, it's bad, and then, like how do you all of a sudden, like, hey, now I'm married, now it's holy, right? And it's like, okay, so now now it's okay.
Like it's back in the day, it's only to create another life. Mm-hmm. That's it.
To have children, exactly. That's, which some people still kind of have that mentality.
They do. I mean, my abuelitos had 15 kids.
Right? Like, it's like, every wow. year they were pregnant. And it's so interesting, like, that is so deep-rooted, and it still is. Even if people are not very much religious or they don't go to church, like, a lot of people tell me, like, I don't go to church, but I grew up Catholic or...
Same.
What
same
I, yeah, and so those messages are very much there, and so that's why I think it's challenging. Also, like, when it comes to even women of color, like, going to the doctor, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It's quite an experience.
Very.
Right?
Yes.
And so... we can't necessarily always, like, ask those questions, or we don't even know what to ask sometimes. And there is, like, this stigma with sex of, like, oh my god, you're having multiple partners, or, like, why do you need to do an STD test and stuff like that.
I've had an experience where I, this is TMI, but here we are. Mm-hmm. Like, I was
what
having,
it's about.
I was having issues, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it turned out to be yeast infections.
Yeah.
But... in my head, I'm like, oh my god, I probably have an STD, like, this and that. And I started thinking, like, oh, I feel dirty, right. I feel this. And I was shameful to go to the doctor. And the doctor actually made me feel like crap. It's like, mm-hmm. hey, you keep ordering STD tests, you keep ordering STD tests. Like, why don't you just use protection? I'm like, I am using protection, right. but I have this issue. Mm-hmm. And turns out that it was because I was taking a medication that he prescribed to me that wow. made me have that, like, mm-hmm. as a side effect. And I was just... I felt shitty. Like, I told him, I'm like, well, you should have told me that in the first place, that right. this was a side effect. But they don't tell you those things. A lot of antibiotics cause, like, yeast infections. Mm-hmm. They cause issues, especially,
UTIs.
Like, yes, women, like, they're very, a lot of women are very sensitive to any antibiotic. I am Absolutely. One of those women. And if you have that issue, like, it takes a long time to get rid of yeast.
Yeah.
And I actually opened up to one of my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hey, I've been having this issue. And she's like, oh, my God. She's like, it took me like a year and a half to get rid of that.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. it's something that's kind of like, I felt shameful. I'm not going to lie. Even sharing this is like a little TMI for me. But I feel like this is the whole point of my podcast is to talk about things like this.
Yes.
And when my friend opened up, I felt so much like, oh, like, I don't feel alone, you know,
because
they kept giving me this medication. She's like, just stop all medication, just go natural. Mm. And I did. And finally it got fixed, but the doctor made me feel so crappy. So I changed doctors, and now I have a doctor where I email her if I need STD checks.
Perfect.
Like, normalizing STD checks is good. Like,
yes.
I think that is something that's so important, mm-hmm. especially like in dating and stuff. And like, if you're going to become intimate with a partner, don't be ashamed. Yes. Like, it's better to, like, know who that person is. Like, yes. I've had where I've asked guys to get STD checks before anything.
Mm-hmm.
And right away they're like, oh, what do you think, I'm dirty? Like, no.
It's like, no.
No, it's just, I want to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
And you should be safe as well. So if you bring that up to a partner and they don't like that, like, maybe you should reconsider.
Right. That's a part of, like,
Feeling safe.
Yes. Exactly, which is, like, of the utmost importance to feel safe with a partner who you're going to be sexual with. Because it's, like, it's not just about the piece, like, we're going to come together and, like, have sex. It's, like, there can be lasting effects, right?
Oh, yeah.
There could be deadly effects, right? Like, there could be, like...
HPV, there's so many things.
Yes, absolutely. And sometimes they carry it without any symptoms. Mm-hmm. And so those are things that... I feel like if you ask your partner and if they get offended by it, it's like, you're not the type of partner that I'm trying to match with here.
Yeah, you want someone that makes you feel safe and that makes you feel comfortable. Yeah. And if you have boundaries that you said there with having sex with somebody, that's okay.
Absolutely.
And it's okay to bring that up. And you shouldn't let anyone shame you for being safe. It's your body.
Mm-hmm.
Your body, your choice.
Your body, your choice. And honestly, I don't know if it's like a... Latinx community thing, because I've had clients, like, white clients, and they have no issues, like, when they're dating, they tell me, like, oh, yeah, I get my, like, routine STD test, and, oh, yeah, this guy I was dating or whatever, like, I asked him for it, he's like, oh, yeah, I got mine, and they just pulled it up, like nothing, and I'm like, that is so interesting.
I think it is. Like, I think in my experience, I've only had, like, one partner that was very upfront and be like, hey, I got tested. I'm like, okay, me too.
Yeah. Like, here. So good.
And I was so like, wow, like, that made him hot.
It does, because you know what? It's like, it's not just saying I'm taking care of myself, but it's also saying I care about you enough, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. To make sure that we're both healthy to engage in this type of act. And it just shows maturity.
Yes, and there's been times where I brought it up to guys, and mm-hmm. they, like, think I'm a hoe. Because I brought it up.
Yeah.
Like, they like, oh, why, do you sleep around? I'm like, no, but... And if I did...
I know. So and if I did, what? But all it takes is one partner.
Yes.
All it takes is one partner.
And it could be, like, someone, you know... Like, I've had people tell me, like, well, I've been with the same person for... You don't know what the other person did before hey. You or mm-hmm. while they're with you. So exactly. It's important. It's important to talk about these things.
Yeah, I agree. So that's very important. I think that's why it can be so challenging, because it's not... one size fits all also. So like, what works for one person may not work for the next. Like, your body is so unique, right? And that the way it works isn't necessarily gonna work for someone else. Like, it's not gonna work in the same way as for somebody else. And then there's a different partner. So with one partner, you might not have some issue. And then when you go into another partnership and you're like, something's not clicking. I'm not getting an orgasm. I'm not getting, you know, there's no, like, lubrication down there. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not getting wet or anything like that. And so those are very common things that they're like, what's going on? Like, and a lot of times we tend to look at ourselves and be like, what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
And that's why if something's wrong with me, then I want to keep it to myself and I don't want to talk about it. And that's where the shame piece is, right? That's why we don't talk about these things. But that's why we're here
today.
What are some of the messages that... I guess if you were to think about, like, media, social media, right, and everything, movies and all that, like, what are some of the messages that you think
that
you've received about sex?
Received about sex. Probably that you have to be, like, this, like, very kinky person and be down to do crazy stuff all the time and have sex, like, 7 days a week.
Right.
So I think that's something that's portrayed in the media a lot. Like,
yeah.
Being a sexual deviant, I guess.
Right. And it's like, if I can't even get myself to drink water every single day, like, how am I going to be having sex every single day? Like, I'm sorry, but that's a big task. You know what I mean? Like, and
especially with life stresses and everything. Oh my
God, there's so much more. And it's like, it's not everything, but it is a very key part, right? But I agree. The media is like, you have to be like this sexual person and you can't have too many partners, right?
Or else you're a slut.
Mm-hmm.
So what about people that enjoy having sex? The shame that comes with that. Like, that they want to have sex and like, oh, well, you want to have sex all the time, then you're a slut. There's a lot of that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there absolutely is. And it's more about like if you're grounded and you're confident in yourself, then you're gonna filter out those people and you're gonna be like, I'm not gonna give my energy to those people. And that's what's really important. And you learn, who do I talk to about these things and who not, right? Like, we're talking about normalizing these conversations, but not everyone is safe to have these conversations. And so we need to be able to determine that too.
Oh yeah, for right? sure. There's a lot of friends that I wouldn't even open up about that because it's not something that we talk about. Now there's the other friends that were very open about it. We share deets, like, and you feel comfortable with. Yes. Like, for me, I don't think I would share deets like with my mom or my sister.
Right,
because for me, that's not very comfortable. Like, when I learned about, like, sex, I don't even know how I learned about sex, to be honest. It's, like, just school.
Yeah.
I remember, like, when I got my period, my mom gave me a book and was like, here. Mm-hmm. I also have a bad memory, so if mom, if you're watching this, I'm sorry, you might have told me this. But, like, I remember being so scared the first time I got my period.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, oh my God, like, what does this mean? Like, what does this mean? I was like, what's going on with my body? Mm-hmm. And I was so confused, and it was something that I felt shameful for.
Mm.
Like, I remember, like, even hiding, like, my pads or my tampons. Right. Now I'm, like, walking in the office with my tampon
right.
and my pad. Like, I don't care. Absolutely. We all bleed.
Yes, absolutely.
And we survive.
I know. I remember middle school, like, I had to be hiding it, like, in different places. Like, oh my God, I got a bathroom. And that's what it's like. Those are natural things that are happening to our body. Like, it's what's gonna happen, right?
Or also, too, what I've experienced is, like, if I tell, like, there's some men that are very, like, oh, what do you need? Like, do you want snacks? Like, men I've dated, you know?
Yes, yes, yes.
And, oh, like, oh, I have cramps. And then there's other men that are like, ew, why would you tell me that? I'm like, you're mature.
You're immature. Like, my husband will go, I'll be like, hey, I need some tampons. Can you go, like, get some? He's like, okay, so send me a picture of which ones. I want to get you the right ones. And so now he, like, he gets them. Like, come on. Like, he's a man. Like, we're going to, we've been together for a long time, too, and we're comfortable with in that way. So it's like, it just shows maturity in that, you know? So, and I think, and kind of, like, going from that to even, like, bodily fluids, like, discharge and stuff like that. Like, oh, what's normal, what's not normal, right? Yes. Like, is it normal to have a certain smell? And it's like, there, we naturally have, like, a bodily smell. Like, that's just the way it is. So, like, though, when I think about media, I think about how, like, in the movies, it's like, oh my god, so romantic. The background music, right? Like, it's like, they went to go have dinner, and all of a sudden, like, nobody feels full. They're just, like, all over each other, right?
Their belly is in the red.
Right? And it's like, oh my god, they look so sexy. We're ready to go into, and it's like,
after a steak dinner?
Yeah, after a steak dinner. It's like, I don't know what you was like, I gotta go to the restroom, you know, maybe take some Tums. Yeah.
We're 30. 30-something.
So it's like the media doesn't... of course, they're going to portray it in a really romanticized way. And I remember having this friend in high school, and he told me, like... I don't know. I guess him and his buddies were, like, very much, like, trying to get him laid. Yeah. And so he finally had this, like, huge share with me, like... He was like, it was just...
Anticlimactic. Was
yeah. He was like, I was waiting for the background music. And it was just, like, not what I expected. I was like, very interesting. Very interesting. But it's true. That's exactly what it feels like. It's not like in the movies. And that's what we need to learn. Like, no, it's not.
And sometimes it's not always, like, the first time is not always great because you're getting to know somebody.
Exactly.
And you're like,
you're getting to know each other's bodies, right? And then, and, like, that's why I think foreplay is very important, because it does help you get into the mood and get your mind right, feel safe, feel relaxed. And a lot of women don't orgasm, right? Why is that? Why? Because we need to be in a relaxed state. And so we have, like, you know, trauma history or other relationships where people have made comments about our weight, body, or the way that we look, or, oh my God, I can't believe you like that. Like, no, I don't like it like that. And they're really, like, wanting you to do a certain position or something like that. It's like, that's not going to make me feel comfortable when it comes to sex. So that's why people avoid it. Very avoid it. I see people become very avoidant. Like, I'm like, well, how do you talk about sex? Like, we don't.
Like, relationships?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Like, we don't. Like, so they'll be like, oh, I'm just too tired, right? You hear these, like, I have a headache. And I'm like,
is it really that?
I don't know about you, but when I have a headache, it actually helps me.
De-stress.
Just saying. Yeah, and it does, because it's a de-stressor. But it's not going to be a de-stressor. Like, it's not going to, you know, relax you. If you're stressed about the performance, or if you're stressed about, like,
what if he pulls this move or she pulls this move?
Yes. And it has to be, there has to be a sense of safety. Whether you're in a relationship or not, there has to be a certain sense of safety with the person that you're going to interact with. Especially being naked. Or some people don't get, like, fully naked.
Or they want the lights off.
Or they want the lights off. Exactly. And it's like, that's fine if that's your preference, but also let's work on that, because we want to be confident in the bedroom.
And what if your partner likes lights on?
So. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that too. Then we're going to have to be like, sometimes, yeah, somewhere in the middle and dim it,
Get a dimmer.
Put some candles or something, yes. But I think that's why it's so important to feel safe in it, because if you feel safe, then you're going to be a little bit more open to things. And if you're not open to things, ask yourself why. Ask yourself, why am I so avoidant when it comes to sex?
Or why don't I want to talk about
it?
Am I embarrassed? Am I ashamed? Do I have, like, a preference that I'm nervous to share?
Yes, absolutely. And what I see a lot in the dynamics, and when I'm going to say this, it's more of, like, heterosexual relationships. So I very much know that same-sex couples, they go through similar things, but it's going to be different, right? The dynamics are a little bit different. And so what I see is, a lot of the women that I work with in the couples are just, like, clients. They say, like, oh, but I don't feel that emotional connection. Like, oh, I've been tired. I've been doing all of these things. I've been doing all the housework. I've been doing so much. And it's like, and then he just wants to have sex. And it's like, I don't feel that emotional connection. I'm like, that is true.
You have to have, like, even not in the bedroom. Like, you have to have some, you know, whatever your love language mm-hmm. is. Like, oh my God, he did this for me.
Exactly.
Or he said he's proud of me, or this. Yes. Like, there has to be more to it than just absolutely. Getting to the deed.
Right, and that's, a lot of people think foreplay, and they think, like, touching each other before mm-hmm. and stuff like that, but foreplay can also be, like, oh, you look so beautiful today. Oh, I hope you have a wonderful day.
You're the best chef.
Oh, my
You're
God.
The best mom.
You're the best. Yeah, exactly. Like, I was thinking about you today, and I'm so... And
same thing goes vice versa for men.
Absolutely.
So men need reassurance. Men need to be feel wanted. Even, like, I've heard, like, of girls say, like, yeah, I know how to do it, but I say I don't because that makes them feel wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And it's so true because we think... Like, men can very much get in their heads as well. And so, for the fellas, you know, like, they really do need that, too. Like, I want you. They want to feel desire. That's what I... Like, both people want to feel desire, but what I've seen in, like, the male clients that I have is, like, I want to feel wanted.
Yeah.
I want to feel, like...
I'm needed,
like... And the real ones are gonna, like... They're gonna want to make you feel good back.
Yeah.
Right, they're gonna want to make you feel good, and those are the givers that I call the
Where
givers.
They at? Where they at
though? Oh yeah, those are the ones that I'm like, okay, like so my clients tell me about like their boyfriends or their whatever, and I'm like, oh, so he's a giver. We like him.
We can keep him.
But it kind of goes a little bit both ways, right? But I don't think it should be like keeping score. But it very much is important to feel like both people are having a good time. Really, because if one person's zoning into it and the other one's not, it's like, well, it's not fun.
Yeah, you have to talk about it. You have to ask, what do you like?
Yeah.
That's something I feel people are afraid to ask.
Right. And I remember talking to my husband about this topic, right? Mm-hmm. Like, sex. And I'm like, what are some things that make you feel uncomfortable about sex? Like, what are things that make you feel uncomfortable talking about it? And he's like, I don't know. I just never talked about it before. Like, it was just something kind of, like, shameful.
Taboo. You don't talk
Taboo.
About it.
Taboo. Like, so then, yeah, exactly. So then, you know what happens? People turn to porn.
Oh, yeah. And then they think that that's how it's
And then they think it's like that. It's like, I'm sorry to say this, but not everybody is built like that.
Yeah.
And not everybody...
They're actresses and actors.
And not everybody can last that long. And so... Very much a lot of misinformation when it comes to porn, but that has been where a lot of people say, like, I learned from porn. You know, I've seen this, and I'm like, okay, I think I can do that. Or that's how they learn about, like, even the female anatomy. And it's like, there's so much to our anatomy, right? It's just not just like, okay, people call everything down there the vagina, and it's like, no, there's parts
of it.
There's parts, okay? You need to know what the clitoris is so that you can
get
some pleasure. Yes, absolutely. And so when we look at, like, porn and stuff, like, that's just not realistic. And sometimes they alter things on there, and people don't realize this. They just, or it's safer to just watch somebody on a screen and masturbate than to actually go with a partner and be vulnerable. That's what I see, too.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's not... We're made for connection, right? We're made for connection. So to be with a partner to say, like, I'm going to show my full self, including being sexual with you, that takes a lot of trust.
A lot of commitment, a lot of trust. You have to have that feeling safe, always.
Always feeling safe. And when you don't, that's why, you know, there's the things like safe words, you know? I think, like, 50 Shades of Grey... Is like, gosh, I've never watched it. No,
oh my god!
But I think people—it was so popular because I think people like they have certain fantasies that they don't share,
mm-hmm.
and they like the idea of like, oh my gosh, okay, like somebody's being dominant and submissive, and it's like a whole other world that we're not really used to knowing about, especially like in mainstream media.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's why it was popular, and also it's like some things are not realistic. So, you know what I mean? And so, yeah, a lot of misinformation that we need to clear up.
All right, so I posted on Unbreakable Latina on the Instagram mm-hmm. if anybody had any questions related to sexual health.
Fun.
And we got a bunch of questions, so Chatelle was so kind enough to organize them for me. Like, this is what I'm supposed to do, but she did an amazing job. I love my friends. So first things first, masturbation. Is masturbation healthy?
Yes, it is healthy. I think it just depends on, like, the way that you grew up and the messages that, like, you received about sex, especially masturbation. So if you receive messages that are like more towards like religious beliefs, then you're gonna believe like that's wrong. You're gonna believe that
it's shameful
that you shouldn't be doing that, that it's a sin, things like that. But honestly, our body reacts and like it's going to have certain reactions to certain stimuli, right? And so masturbation is a really good way to get to know your body. So how am I gonna know what I like when I'm having sex with a partner if I don't even know my own body and what it can do, what it likes, what it doesn't like? And so yes, masturbation is very normal, and we need to stop shaming people for it. Even kids, right? Like teenager age, like teen years are the years where it really comes out. But even like, let's say my 4-year-old, oh my gosh, that kid is always trying to like touch his penis. And I'm like, little boy, I love this for you. You're exploring. And he's exploring, right? He's like, what is this? But I also it's up to me as his mom to teach him. It's appropriate. Like, you can do it when you're here in private, but please, like, don't do that at school, right?
Yeah.
And so those are things that we have to learn. But it's not, like, shaming, like, ay, cochino, don't be doing that. Mm-hmm. Like, no, I'm not going to be doing that. Because then we grew up thinking our body parts are gross. And we can't do them. And we can't touch each other. Nobody can touch us, you know, as we get older. And so I think it's normal. But not a lot of people are very in tune with their body. And so that's something that little by little you can start to learn, right? So if you're not comfortable with it, it's like, oh, maybe using vibrators. So there's like external vibrators, and there's internal ones. So there's some that you can, you know, put inside of your vagina and feel the pleasure that way. Or there's also external ones that you're just kind of put on your clitoris, and that's how you feel some of the pleasure. But you do what works for you. So maybe you don't even want to use a vibrator. Maybe you just want to use your hands. Maybe you want to use something else. I see this lady on TikTok who uses a pillow. So she's like props the pillow, and then she pretty much like grinds on the pillow, and she gets, you know, excited by that. And I was like, that's so interesting. I love TikTok for this because people are so real there.
Everybody, no shame in their game.
Absolutely. And so there's so many different ways to do that.
It's funny that you say how it's shameful, right? Mm-hmm. I was talking to somebody and I brought up like masturbation questions that I was receiving, and they're like, oh, that's unhealthy. It's going to become very addictive. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, wait, what? You think that? Mm-hmm. So is masturbation addictive?
It can be. It can be, especially if you're like, oh my God, I like this. And isn't it? It's so much more, it's so much less, I guess, less worries about performance because there's nobody else there, right? It's just you. It's just you and whatever you're using to get off. And so it can be in the way of like, I love the way that this feels. And so I've had clients tell me like, I started and I started doing it like every single day. And it's like, there has to be a healthy balance for anything that we do. Mm-hmm. And so trying to remember, like, let's not get caught up in just masturbating. If you're in a relationship, if we're masturbating and that's only what we're doing, sometimes it can be hard if we've already finished and we've already done like our sexual drive. When it comes to actually being with a person, it might be affected.
Might not be there.
It might not be there. And so we, you know, but it's healthy, you know, sometimes in the beginning stages, if you're just exploring, I mean, it could be addictive, but like anything could get addicted because you're excited about it.
Be addicted to hot Cheetos.
Absolutely. Oh, yes.
All right. A question we got is, I have never owned a vibrator or any sex toy. What should I look into when buying one?
I think you should look into, what I see a lot promoted in some of these shops and stuff is that it's very discreet, right? Like, discreet packaging, because obviously it's like something intimate. And so if you want to look into that, like, are there places that have it to be discreet? Also, just like in terms of the actual toys, like, well, find out what you like, right? So like, look at something that's gonna be easy to clean. Something that's gonna be sanitary, like you can sanitize and stuff like that. And like I mentioned earlier, there's like external, there's internal. So there's also like something that stimulates even your anus. And so it's like, if that's something that you're into, then go ahead and find that. Or if you're like, I don't know if I'm into it, but I'm open to it,
there's also stores.
Go for it. There's also stores
that you can walk into and actually see and ask questions. But I know that could be like intimidating yeah. to walk into.
It could. You know, when I was going to get married, my bachelorette party, I actually had this woman come in and she talked about, like, she had, like, different sex toys and she talked about different things. Like, she brought a swing.
Like an Avon party. Avon
yes, sex. But with sex toys. Make it sex. Yes. And so, and I remember, like, I got criticized for it. Not from my sisters. My sisters were totally cool. They were totally into it. But, like, there was other people, because at the time, I was going to church, but other people were just kind of like, oh, my gosh, like, what's with all the penis stuff? And, like, and I get it. There's, like, a discomfort, and I don't blame them, you know? I don't blame them.
But it's your bachelor.
But it's my bachelorette party. Okay, we're going to turn up here. As many penises as we can.
Before.
And I'm not literal ones, you know, but, like, the decorations and stuff. And the toys. And so she was sharing, like, okay, there's so many different things. Like, there's even, like, massage
that you probably didn't even know existed.
I didn't know existed. Things that are edible, right? Like, flavored lubrication.
¿Te gusta el caramelo? Hay algo para eso.
Exactly. And so, like, it really just depends on what you like. But there's so much out there. And if you don't know about something, you can research it. You can look it up, like, how do I use this? But please, please don't, like, do something that you don't. Like, it's you're not into it. You know, don't get pressured into it. Ease your way into things. Start off with something small. Start off with, like, a vibrator or something. And then see if you like, well, how do you usually finish? Or if you've never finished, if you're like, I never received an orgasm. You know, start to explore, okay, where does my body react? There's a book called Come As You Are.
I was just going to ask, is there books that people can read?
Oh my God, yes, yes. And I can definitely give some more recommendations. But I was reading the book Come As You Are. And it's so good because it talks about, like, brakes and accelerator. And so there's things, like, you might get really turned. Accelerator is like, yeah, that gets me turned on. I love that. And then there's the things that, like, pump, like, make you break. You're like, oh, that was a turn on. Yeah. I don't like that. I don't like the way that feels. And depending on your history, depending on
your experiences,
like, you may like some things, you may not. And so, like, that's why people joke around. They say, like, oh, our back ribs turned into something more. Yeah. But it's like foreplay is very, it's very helpful. Like, you get to
and it's
touch,
unique for everybody.
And it's unique for everybody. Like, and masturbation isn't just solo. Like, you can also do that with your partner if you want to.
Get to know your body with your partner.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, questions that we got on consent, likes, dislikes, safety zones. So, there's this question we received and says, my partner of 5 years recently insinuated wanting me to finger his anus and almost pushing my head during oral sex towards his butt. I took it as if he wanted me to sort of lick it. I felt very weird and didn't say anything, but I just brushed it off and we didn't do anything. How can I approach this?
And this is where the avoidant piece is, right? Where it's just like, oh my
gosh.
Let's
pretend that didn't happen.
And it's like, what happens next time? You might be worried that it's going to happen again. And you're like, I don't know if I want to do that.
And then they don't want to.
Yeah. Yes. And I just want to, like, say that it can be really hard to, like, have somebody, like, push your head and try to get you to do something. You're just, like, thrown off maybe. But this is why now with this experience, it's going to be so important for this person or whoever this happens to also to say, hey, remember, like, when we were having sex, you pushed my head and you were doing this. I just wanted to know, like, is that something you're into? Like, what is it that you were trying to get from that, right? Mm-hmm. And then you can share, like, if you're not comfortable with it, you can say, I'm actually not very comfortable with that, but I'm hoping that we can still pleasure each other in other ways that we're both comfortable with, because that's what it's all about, right? Safety.
Communication.
Consent. To be able to say, I don't like that, but is there something else I can do to please you that also works, you know? And so, and please don't let anybody shame you for not wanting to do it, but please don't shame that person also for trying to do that. Maybe they didn't go about it the right way.
Maybe they didn't know how to open up and say, hey, yeah, like, I want to try something new. Are you down?
Yes.
Instead, they're like, maybe if I just do this, they'll want to do it.
And sometimes you're, like, in it. Like, you're in the moment. Like, so you're just like, oh, my God, you let loose. And you're like, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. So they're like, okay, let's see what else we could do, right? Yeah. And so So sometimes that happens, and I get it, but it's like you have to be really good at being like, oh, I'm not comfortable with that, and oh, maybe
boundaries.
Maybe we can talk about it first. Maybe not this time, but maybe we can talk about it to see if that's something that we're willing to do. And maybe it is something you're willing to do, right? Like, there's no shame here. Like, there's no shame in your game, you know? Like, if you want to do that, that's okay. Maybe we're just thrown off. But, like, do it in a way that feels comfortable to you, right? Because one thing that we're all worried about, too, is, like, hygiene, body odors, the smells. Like, those are all things, especially when it comes to, like, oral sex. Like, it can be really hard to be, like, that's where you pee from. Like, I don't want to put that in my mouth, you know? But that's why it's good to talk to your partner about, like, showering, cleaning themselves, what they eat, right? What we eat even affects the taste of our body fluids. And so those are things that are just communication, feeling comfortable enough to be like, or even doing it uncomfortable and saying, that's not something that
for me.
It wasn't for me, you know.
But I tried it. I'm not built for this.
Yes, exactly.